Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to have with me today, all the way from Vancouver Island, it's Eric Solbakken. And hello to you.
Hey, Rob. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's wonderful to have you. And you are the author of The Accountant Success Formula. We're going to talk about that in a while. But Eric, for people that may not have heard about you, tell us a bit about your background and your expertise.
So I'm a chartered accountant. We're called CPAs now here in Canada. So chartered professional accountants, put it in alignment with the US. I was in public practice. I did it for over 26 years. For the first 18 years, I was in a multiple partnership firm. We did the traditional accounting firm model, busted our butt working stupid hours during tax season.
And then that's just because no other accountants do that.
Yeah, right? Of course. Yeah, because I'm the only one, right? Yeah. And then the partnership went south and I went north. At that point, I decided that I'd had enough and I thought, okay, I'm going to change the way I'm doing things. And I did. I started studying up on all the thought leaders in the accounting space and other business leaders. Figured there's got to be a better way of doing this. I can't spend this much of my life grinding things out. I got to find a better way. So started testing. Like I actually acted like an entrepreneur. I tried different methodologies, different ways of approaching the practice and the billing models. And I tripled my net income over my previous partnership. And I was a sole practitioner at the time with this new firm, all without working a single hour of overtime. And after I sold my practice, I had all these accountants asking me how the hell I did it. That's when I formalized the process and realized that I had created the accountants success formula. And so now I'm sharing that with accountants all over the globe, showing them that they don't have to live under this oppressive business model that we've been brainwashed into believing.
Wow. You're an evangelical, passionate kind of guy. So we're going to unpack a few myths and be controversial today. So give us some of the lies that accountants have been conditioned to believe in over the years.
Oh, yeah. These are true to my heart. And I'm glad you said that. For me, this is more than a business. This is a passion play for me because I'm an accountant and I did it for 26 years. I know the pain and suffering that accountants go through, but they do it unconsciously. This is the problem, is that we just think it's normal to work the way we do. And so I'm here to wake them up. I'm here to say, hey, it's not true. Wake up, wake up. We've been lied to.
You're on a crusade, aren't you?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I tend to be a little bit louder than the typical accountant. I get very passionate about this because I'm sick and tired of seeing accountants suffer because I suffered.
Wait, how did you suffer?
My first partnership in those first 18 years, I was working ridiculous overtime hours because I thought that was what you did. And I thought this was what you had to do to be successful. And I was under this illusion that my self-worth was based on how many hours I worked.
So who created that illusion, Eric?
The profession did. Right. The profession creates the illusion. Our colleagues create the illusion, and our clients, the general, like the shall we call it society at large, creates these illusions that accountants believe in. I jokingly say this to people often. I go, I wish I had met me back when I was in accounting, because there was nobody like me when I was in public practice that was actually saying, hey, by the way, Eric, there's a better way to do this. You don't have to live this way. And by the way, you're suffering right now. So this is why I'm kind of screaming it from the rooftops as much as I can. But let's get to the three lies. First lie is that our worth is based on how many hours we work. The billable hour model is really, really an abusive model from both the accountant standpoint and from the client standpoint. But it goes deeper for the accountant. It actually creates a self-worth issue. We think our self-worth is based on how many hours we work. So I see accountants all the time where I'm showing them that they can work way less hours and make way more money. And they all of a sudden, they just feel uncomfortable. It's like, oh, no, I have to put in all this time. So they're conditioned to believe this. And so that's the first lie. The second lie is that our clients are naturally price sensitive to our services. As accountants, we just seem to think that we're here to save the money, save the money, save the money. And so our clients are always price sensitive. So we got to be careful. It's stressful billing them, especially after the fact, right? You give them this bill at the end and you're thinking, oh, they're price sensitive. And so it causes a lot of internal stress and anxiety. But the truth of the matter is we actually create price sensitive clients. And it's not that people are naturally price sensitive. It's the way that accountants sell to them that makes them price sensitive.
What makes accountants think that their clients are price sensitive? What's the evidence for that?
Every time I talk to them, they keep telling me, you know that. You talk to enough accountants as it is. This is one of the major complaints. It's like, oh man, clients are so price sensitive. They're so price sensitive. And I'm like, well, How did you sell to them? Here's accountants, they lead with, oh, this is really complex. We're going to have to work on this tax structure, and this is difficult, and this is complex and complex and complex. And so you've got your clients all scared. And then the next question is, the client goes, okay, well, how much is this going to cost? Oh, we charge you by our standard billable hour rates and blah, blah, blah. Well, instantly the client's now focused on how long it's going to take you to do the work instead of the output that's coming from it. Instead of what they're going to get, they're worried about how long it's going to take you. Now that you've instantly created a price-sensitive client for life. Because now they're focused. They're more concerned about you doing it quicker than getting the result. So you've got them focused. And it's an interesting thing with psychology, that which you focus on grows. So once you create that focus for them on the billable hour and then, you know, them wanting you to do it quicker, they're now focused on price and the price sensitivity. So you've created that in them. So there's the second lie. So the first lie is that our worth is based on how many hours we work. The second is that our clients are naturally price sensitive to our services. And the third one is that tax time just has to suck. And so, and literally when I talk to most accountants, by the time when I hit the third one, they giggle kind of nervously because they realize that it's true. It's funny because it's true. And it's just this, we've just been conditioned to believe that when it gets to busy season, that's when we have to buckle in and tighten our belts and work those hard hours and not see our families and be stressed out. And because, again, it ties back into the first lie, is that the only way that we can be successful is by putting in more billable hours. And so those three lies, they are a corrosive thread that goes through the entire accounting profession. And I know this for a fact because I lived them. And it wasn't until I had a horrific, I didn't kind of embellish on what happened between the old practice and the new practice. Like I did 18 years under the old practice. And then what happened was my partnership collapsed. And it was one of these tragic moments where I had to wake up. Like it was this wake up call, kind of you know, it's like when you get hit really hard in a, if you're in a sparring match and someone knocks, kind of hits you hard, you kind of wake up. Right. And so that for me is what happened. And I had to make a decision. I had to go, wow, I need to change this.
So you have accounting clients that you coach all over the world, Eric. Is there any evidence that what you're seeing there in North America is any different or the same to anywhere else in the world with accountants?
This is the funniest thing. I don't know how, like every time I talk to an accountant, as soon as I start pointing out how oppressive, I call it an oppressive business model. And, you know, for an accountant, those are pretty strong words. Like, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, not wanting to be like a salesman. Accountants hate being salesmen. When they see this word, you know, I say it's freeing today's accountant from an oppressive business model. They're like, oh, like that's shocking. Like oh my gosh. But it's the truth, right? When I start pointing out the flaws in the business model, which is what my book, The Accountant Success Formula, outlines, and I have the online program and coaching. Once I start showing it to accountants and say, here's the model, here's the flaws in the model, and I show them the new model that they can use that will improve their lives beyond a shadow of a doubt. All the evidence is there. They're like, yeah, well, that's okay, Eric. It may work in a big town like Victoria, British Columbia, but in this little city that I'm in, it doesn't really work. Or it works in a big accounting firm, but it doesn't work in a small partnership like we have. Or it works in a sole practitioner firm, but it won't work in a big firm. Or it works, that's fine for you in Canada. It'll work there, but it will never work in the United States. Or it's okay. It works for you in North America, but not here in the UK, because in the UK, things are different. Okay, yeah. The last time I checked, Rob, I was pretty sure we were all part of the human race, aren't we?
I think so.
Well, humans are humans, and they all have the same wants and needs. And so there's not a big difference. And so it's the business, the billing model. It's the business model of the accounting practice. It's an oppressive one that creates stress for the owners. It creates stress for the staff, and it creates stress for your clients. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world, how big your practice is, how small it is, whether you're a sole practitioner, whether you're in a multiple partnership, it's the same.
Yeah.
It makes no difference. And you know that.
Yeah, I do. I'm just wanting you to confirm, because accountants do get pushback on price here in the UK, and they do think that their career capital, if you like, comes out of how many hours they've put in, and they do get very stressed around January personal tax season and certain other times like that.
Yeah, and I mean, so the only difference is worldwide is just the different when your shitty season hits.
Yeah.
to be honest, right? Like in North America, it's, you know, in the US, it's like personal tax filing deadline is April 30th. In Canada, it's April, or in the US, it's April 15th. In Canada, it's April 30th.
Yeah.
Different parts of the world, you have different filing deadlines, but it's still the general principles are still the same. Yeah. It's that we just believe that tax time has to suck.
Okay. As I'm just coming off the recording for a moment, so we're off record. Your answers are long, which is great because you're passionate and you're really engaging. But as I look at your 9 questions here, we're only going to get 2 or 3 done in the half hour podcast that we've got. So what I'm thinking, Eric, is that we carry on recording right here if you've got the time, and I'll split this into 2 shows.
Sure, you can. Yeah.
So I'll make the second one, I'm just looking at your questions here, a little bit more about pricing and psychology and a little bit on technology and future. And we'll focus for the rest of this show on the 7 deadly sins and your book and the accounting business model and maybe even that question. No, I won't do that question 3. I'll at least say that to the pricing one. I may ask that number 5, what's the biggest threat to the profession today? So I'll put that in this one. Is that all right?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, Rob. I put in all those questions there just as spur saying, here's the different things we could talk about.
It's great. It's great.
And you know what? We don't have to hit all of them at all. Like, I mean, we could stay in the zone that we're in right now.
Well, let's do 2 shows, but we'll just keep going, and I will. Yeah. And I might even do another introduction so we've got it there recorded. But you've got so much great stuff here, and you're dripping with wisdom, and it's really going to resonate with the accountants that listen. And I want to give you a great platform. So if you're up for it, we'll kind of do 2 shows. So let's go a little bit deeper into these 7 deadly sins. I'll tee up the question, and then we'll leave the pricing stuff to the second show that we're recording a wee while. Okay.
So when you say the pricing stuff,
yeah. So the first question here is the 2 ways for accountants to demand higher prices. Question 4, sensitivity. We've talked a little bit about price sensitivity, but there's a few great questions here on pricing that we can put into a show and theme it on pricing.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I got it. Yeah. Okay. I understood. Yeah. No.
And then let's make this one about your book and about the 7 deadly sins and the wrong business models.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Roger that.
And if you need to mention pricing a little bit, fine, but let's save most of that until the second show.
Yeah. No. No problem.
Make sense?
Yeah. Of course.
So, Eric, I am holding your book, The Accounting Success Formula, Freeing Today's Accountant from an Oppressive Business Model. We know that you're on a crusade. If accountants were to read this book, what's the biggest thing they'd get out of it?
Other than crying first. Like, to be, you know, and I like to, you know, I don't like to, you know, spoiler alert and the rest of it, but I mean, a lot of the first part of this book is really highlighting where the problems are.
Yeah.
And so for me, and again, here's the thing, Rob, this all comes from my own experience. Like, this is the difference, is like, I am a chartered accountant. I am a CPA. I was in public practice for 26 years. I know the suffering that happens. And I also know that most of it happens, if not all of it, is unconscious. It's unconscious suffering. So the number one thing that I would want accountants to get out of reading this book is just to become aware of the fact that they are suffering needlessly, that there is suffering going on and that it's not normal, right? And that there is an opportunity. So I actually have a free Accountant Success Formula Masterclass that I put online. And that comes around, so far it's been once a year. It's like a 4-part video series. It's completely free, and I outline everything. And in there, I talk to, I present it such like this. Any problem solution path, anything that you need to do this to get to take a problem and get to the solution and improve your life in any way, there's 4 steps to this. I call it the path to freedom. Is you first have to realize that there is a problem. So you have to realize it first. And this is the biggest thing for accountants. They don't even realize there's a problem. They just think it's normal. Number 2 is to make a decision to do something about that. So once the accountants read the book and they go, oh, wow, there is a problem here. I always knew there was something wrong with the way we were working, but I thought it was normal, but it's not. So then number 2 is they make a decision. Then the third thing is you have to find a solution, right? That's the third thing. So you have to find a solution to fix the problem. And then number 4 is you have to implement that solution. And it's a simple 4-step procedure. So realize there's a problem, make a decision to do something about it, find the actual solution, and then implement that solution. So with the Accountant Success Formula book, it's kind of that path that I want to walk them down. It's like, give them the first go, hey, there is a problem here, right? And then get them to a point where they go, yeah, well, I'm giving them an outline of the solution. And here I go through that, what I call the ASF five. There's the five steps in here of the actual accountant success formula solution, but they get to look at it, realize there's a problem, number one. Number two, then they can make a decision about what to do. They got the solution in their hands. And then number four, they can implement it.
Okay. So of those four, which do accounting types as a race find the most difficult?
Number one.
Right.
Literally, it's the biggest hurdle is to make accountants realize that there's a problem. But here's the interesting thing is this is a longer process. Like, I'm not a one hit wonder. I'm not trying to come in here and say, hey, I'm going to fix this in 5 minutes. You know, here's the three steps to tripling your income and working no overtime in 5 minutes. Like, it's done, right? It just doesn't happen that way, right? I'm not about a quick fix. It's about a systematic approach to your accounting practice that works. But the number one key here is to try and get them to even realize and soak in the fact that there is a problem and get them to realize it, because they just think it's normal. Like, for, you know, when it comes to the billing model, for example, I don't know how many arguments I've had with I don't argue with accountants. I just let them have their thoughts. And then I just present them with counter thoughts, which is, they seem to think that the billable hour model is the right way to go, because it's always been that way.
And this is the oppressive business model, right?
Yeah, it's an oppressive. Like, there's two problems with the. So let's take a step back. There's two major problems with the accounting firm business model. Number one is the billable hour. How we bill our clients is oppressive. It's oppressive to the owner of the firm. It's oppressive to the staff. It's oppressive to the client. The billing model itself is flawed. Just getting accountants wrapped their head around that, they seem to think that it's professional, that it's ethical to charge clients by the hour, because therefore you're treating everybody the same. As soon as you start talking about value billing, they start going, that's not correct. You can't, you know, you can't bill people different amounts.
So what's flawed about it? It's been working perfectly well for hundreds of years.
Oh yeah, right. It's been and I've seen so many accountants at the end of their careers going, boy, I really want to do that again. Yeah. Like, I mean, you see them. I've yet to see someone walking into the twilight of their accounting professional career and actually going, boy, that was great. Let's do it again. Like, if anything, they're like, I should have been a doctor, or I should have done something else. One of the things that stings for most accountants is when they see how much their clients are making doing other business models or doing other professions with way less schooling and education requirements, and they're making four times as much as them and working like a tenth of the time.
So it might not be efficient, Eric, but what's flawed about the billable hour?
Well, let's talk about it. It's number one in the billable hour model. So it is actually a conflict of interest. Think about it. If your client's coming in and they're working with you, you're running a business as well. So you're trying to maximize your revenue. You're trying to maximize your net income. So you want to maximize your revenue. So when you go into the meeting with the client, or when you go into a transaction with the client, you're looking to, and if you're on a billable hour model, you're looking to maximize your hours. But the client is trying to run their business as well. So they need cost certainty, and they're looking at a return on investment. And so they want to make sure that their revenues are greater than their expenses. So they're going to want to, they don't even know what the costs are when they're starting to go in with you, because you're billing them by the hour. So they're wanting to keep their costs set or minimized, and you're trying to maximize your hours. Instantly, you're in a conflict, because when you go into to do the job, you're going to want to keep you're going to want the hours higher. They're going to want them set or lower. So you're in a conflict of interest.
Okay. You said there was two problems with the accounting.
There's two problems. There's two problems. One is the billable hour one. The second one is that thinking that is focusing on compliance filings. So in the accounting firm that I was in, the original one, the whole idea was the way to make money, of course, goes to we need to bill more hours. But how do you bill more hours? You don't bill more hours with one client. You try and just get more tax returns. So you just focus on compliance filing. So it's like trying to file as many tax returns as you possibly can. You know, it's almost like the person who files the most tax returns wins. It's like, you ever been to an accounting social? And literally it turns into what I call a pissing match, where they're all trying to say, you know, the accountant goes, oh, how are you doing? Oh, we're so busy. We're so busy. We're working, you know, 12 hours a day. And the next one goes, oh, we're working 16 hours a day. And we're so busy. Oh, we work 27 hours a day. And I'm like, 27, how do you get an extra 3 hours? Oh, we're so good. We push it so hard. We get an extra 3 hours out of every day. They seem to think that filing more compliance filings, more tax returns is going to make them more money. And that's how the model's built. So those two are the basic fundamental flaws in the accounting model. It's like, instead of value pricing or agreeing to a price with your client before you start working, right? And then also getting deeper with the client relationship, this has been overused, being the client's number one trusted advisor, instead of just banging out as many tax returns as you possibly can, those two fundamental flaws create a whole world of pain. And I go through it in the book in terms of, all the sins of the traditional model. There's AI coming down the road with artificial intelligence, and that's going to crush accountants. Like, and we could talk about that for hours as well. There's a big tidal wave coming, and accountants need to get out of the way. And in my book, I show them exactly how they can do that.
Just tell us a bit about these seven deadly sins as we draw to a close, Eric. Not all of them, but what are the chief ones?
Well, so the first sin that I go through in the book is charging your services based on time instead of value. So accountants are constantly focused on the inputs, that somehow the inputs into their services equals the value to their clients. And the focus is totally wrong. That's focusing on us instead of the client. If you focus on the output, so the value that the client receives as a result of your service, you're starting to focus in the right direction. And it changes your perspective on your entire business model. We know all our entrepreneurial clients are always focused on they're focused on the value that the client receives. But accounting firms, for some reason, are inward focused, and they're looking at the amount of time that they charge as the value, and how they charge their clients. Like, it's backwards. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's the first sin that I put in the book. The second sin is selling the stuff instead of the transformation. So again, it's a little bit of a twist on inward versus outward facing. Accountants always look at selling the stuff. So as I said at the beginning of the podcast, accountants normally sell to their clients, telling them how detailed oriented it is, all the work they're going to do, all the stuff, the files. And it's not about the transformation. A client comes in and just goes, can you just take care of my taxes? I just don't want to do them. And instead, you could just have the conversation, say, you know what? We got it. We'll take care of all of it. You don't have to worry about anything. You can relax and go sit on the beach, because I know that that's what you want to do. You want to go relax. They go, oh, thank you. And then you sell them on the transformation instead of the stuff that you do. And so sin number three kind of follows with the billing model. It's billing after the fact. This is so oppressive. I remember when I used to look at my WIP reports or work in progress, and I would be like, okay, how much am I going to bill my client this year? Well, first thing I do is I look at last year's file and I see how much I billed them last year. And then I figure out how much I'm going to bill them this year. Then I stress about it. Then I analyze, and then I look at my WIP and I go, oh, I can't write off that much WIP because my business will fail. And then finally get to this stress point and give the client the bill, and it's a couple $100 more than last year, and the client freaks out, and by that time I'm ready to snap, jump over the table and strangle them, right? It's just, if you agreed to the price with your clients before you even started the work, all that stress would be gone, mm-hmm. right? Sin number four, discounting. Again, comes in with billing after the fact. Most accountants, like, they figured this is how much it's going to be, but then on the invoice they'll say, okay, well, here's how much my time was, but I'm going to discount it and I'll give you this lesser price. Newsflash, you've just made your clients more price sensitive, because now they're focused on what's going to make them happy is by paying a lesser price instead of actually what you're actually delivering to them in value.
Keep going. Let's see if we can get all seven in.
Yeah. And so the number five, I call it accepting shitty clients. So sin number five is accepting shitty clients. And this is the fact, because we're focused on getting as many tax returns done as possible, we try and fill our accounting practices with clients instead of being very, I call it laser focused, or doing a sniper approach. We take as many clients as we possibly can instead of going deep with those clients and charging more per client. And so we end up taking on all these shitty clients. Number six, here's it, accepting that tax time has to suck. Again, it falls back to the lies, right? That's a sin. It's once you accept that tax time has to suck, it takes the power out of the hands of the accountant and puts it power back into the hands of the model, the business model. And this is where I see so many accountants feel like they are completely out. They have no control over their lives. And for me, when I'm working with my coaching clients one-on-one, that's one of the greatest gifts that I see them receiving as a result of this, is they get the power back. They get control of their own lives. They start being the master of their own destiny. destiny, and they can start making decisions and they improve their lives by having that control. And then sin number 7, because I just like throwing it in at the end, is wasting time dealing with time. That's when you think about it. I was talking to an accounting firm where he told me they switched over their billable hour model system. They were working in a new program to track their time and their WIP and their work in progress and analysis. The senior partner spent 300 hours analyzing, researching, implementing a new billing model, a new billing. When you think about how many hours a month accountants spend analyzing their work in progress, writing off, chasing accounts receivable, stressing about how much to invoice their clients, if you just got rid of all that time and stress, do you imagine what kind of value they can create for their businesses or even spend free time on their own?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of I call it the final stake. And there's a lot more. I mean, here's the thing, Rob. I highlighted 7 because, you know, 7 deadly sins seem to make sense, but there are a lot more.
Frightening.
Well, it's extremely frightening. But the good point is, but here's the silver lining. It doesn't have to be this way. And that's what, you know, the first question that on the book, it says, have you ever asked yourself, does it always have to be this way? And this is the problem that accountants don't stop to say, hey, is something wrong here? So this is why I'm here. I'm here shouting it from the rooftops as loud as I can, because I'm a fellow accountant. I've been through the pain. I came through the other side. I changed my model. I had an incredible life. I made way more money than I ever thought possible. And I want to share that with as many accountants as I possibly can.
Yeah. This is great, Eric. And we'll have another show with you and talk a bit more about pricing. But for now, if people want to get a copy of the book, what's the best place to get it?
You can go to ericsolbakkencpa.com. That's Eric with a K, Solbakken with 2 Ks, cpa.com. And if you go on there, there's an opportunity for them to click on, and I will send them a free copy of the book. I just ask that they help me cover a little bit of shipping, and that's anywhere in the world. I pay for the book. You just help me with the shipping, and I'll send it off to you right away.
That's a great offer. And if people want to have a conversation with you and find out a lot more about this evangelistic nonsense and accounting pain and problems, what's a good way for them to reach out to you?
Again, that's the same thing. You can reach out, look on my website, ericsolbakkencpa.com, or send me an email, eric@ericsolbakkencpa.com, and I'd be happy to have a chat with you.
This is terrific, Eric. Would you leave us with what I think is quite a challenge for the employed accountant? So you've been kind of addressing this at the owners and the people that can affect change, the people that have the control, the power, the authority to change things around here. But there's a lot of employed accountants. They're not part of the board, the management, the leadership, the partnership structure. They're struggling internally to deal with some of these things. So how can they start to bring about change and make things better?
Oh, first things first is get a copy of the book. This book is directed, and in the book I talk about the consequences. I go through the sins of the business model, the traditional business model, and then I go through the consequences. And one of the consequences is the consequences to the employee. And as an employee, the behavioral conditioning starts there. It's if the employees can read the book, understand where the problem is with the model, that's where we can start changing. And this is why I'm also bringing this book out to new accountants that are coming fresh out of school. I want them to read this and understand this book before they get brainwashed by the system. And so employees, they can look at it and then they can make a decision. And here's the thing, they have a choice. They could stay with a traditional firm that grinds them, that makes them charge out crazy billable hours and holds them in an oppressive model, or they can find an accounting firm that has adopted a new model that is freeing and that it helps them grow as professionals and as humans instead of, you know, timesheet punchers. They can make a choice. They can go somewhere else. They can either do the change in their practice or they can, like I said, they can make a choice. They go somewhere else.
You're going to be so popular with 90% of accounting firms throughout the globe.
Here's the thing. This is not, again, I am doing this, we'll call it an evangelistic movement here. This is about freeing accountants from an oppressive business model. I have a mission statement written on my whiteboard behind me, and you can see it, Rob, there. It says, I want to end suffering for accountants and impact millions of lives. This can and will happen. We end the suffering. And once it does, it's amazing the kind of lives that we can have inside accounting practices that we never thought possible.
Well, Eric Solbakken, that's been enlightening. Thank you so much for your time today.
Right on. Thanks, Rob.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.